The Dental Download podcast is your source for insight into dental school, conversations with dentists, specialists, and leaders in the industry. With new episodes every Monday morning, I'm your host, Haley Schultz. Let's get into this week's episode. Hello, everyone. Happy Monday. Welcome back to another episode of the Dental Download podcast. I'm so excited about this one. I have spent a lot of time preparing for this episode for you all because I really wanted to make it something that you're going to listen and you're just going to feel so fired up and motivated when you're done, because I'm taking different tidbits of podcasts that I've listened to that's really motivated me. So not only should you leave this episode with some really good positive vibes, but I hope that the fire that I felt after hearing some of these concepts and reminding myself some of these things through podcasts I listened to in the new year, I hope that that same motivation is going to kind of snowball on for you and all of us can just continue growing into our best selves. So we're going to be talking all about goal setting in this episode. But first, let's do our favorite part of the solo episodes and do a quick little catch up on my life the past few weeks. I started my last semester of dental school ever, so it's the winter semester of my D4 year. We came back after winter break to a short week for me because of Martin Luther King Jr. Day. And then coming off of that was also another short week. Basically, before MLK Day, I didn't have patients Thursday, Friday. And then after MLK Day, I didn't have a patient on Tuesday. So what I did is I went down to see my boyfriend. We celebrated his birthday early. We drove up from where he lives in Illinois into the city of Chicago and saw a bunch of his friends, watched the Lions playoff, watched the Lions win. It was very, very, very cool for us Detroit people. And clinic has just been really slow. There's not much to report about dental school itself. There's been the patients I have had scheduled, which is pretty much a full schedule. I've only been seeing a couple people per week because everyone else has been canceling, whether it's the snow, the ice, the cold temperatures, or they got sick from all this terrible weather. So I've had barely any patients come in. I've done a couple restorations and a few exams, but nothing really exciting. And I also took another competency that we have to take. It's pass-fail, and it's in our emergency services rotation. So we went outside of our rotation time and signed up for a time to one-on-one, basically do an oral exam going through a patient case with one of the preceptors. And the other update, I suppose, is that while you're listening to this, I'm starting my final external rotation of dental school in southern Michigan on the west side of the state, and I'll be working at a community clinic for 4 weeks this term, 2 weeks now in January, and 2 weeks again in March. So the Monday that you're listening to this is my first day at this new rotation site. So in future episodes, I'm sure I'm going to update you on how the specific site is, but I'm really hoping that it's a great one. So I don't want to spend too much of the episode recapping and talking about school because there isn't anything too major to share, but let's get into everything we can talk about with goal setting.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right, setting goals. What's the first step? Well, as Taylor Swift herself has said in her song Mastermind, if you fail to plan, you plan to fail. Just kidding. I know that that is not directly a Taylor Swift original line. I know it's Winston Churchill who kind of got it from Ben Franklin, but I just thought it was funny when I was listening to that on my many drives lately back and forth between Illinois. They're like almost 6 hours, by the way. And I didn't realize her song Mastermind, that she says that quote in it. So I had to mention it in this episode. If you fail to plan, you plan to fail. So the first step of goal setting, in my opinion, in an effective way, is planning out everything. And before you can plan out what you need to do, you need to figure out what you want out of life, which isn't that the biggest question and the biggest hurdle to overcome. I talk about it as if it's so obvious and easy. I thankfully am someone, in my opinion, that has everything that I want pretty much figured out, but it didn't happen overnight, and it's not something that I just knew one day I woke up and I knew everything that I wanted out of life and how to achieve it. It definitely took a lot of inward thinking and getting to know myself and getting to know my strengths and weaknesses and goals. But one of the things I listened to in a podcast recently and why I really wanted to share this episode was something, a term I hadn't heard of before. And the term is the ladder of believability. So you can think of it, I like the term ladder. You can think of it as steps, stones as well, but I really liked the term ladder because you're climbing straight up. It's a little bit more linear than going at an angle of stairs, and stairs can be big heights and da 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 da. So I liked the term ladder. And the thought is that when you're setting goals, you might have an end goal of X amount of money in your retirement account to feel like you can stop working. And now at that point, you're only working because you love your job and not because you have to work. And that's probably a super high amount that you're going to feel comfortable retiring if you're below typical retirement age. And that just seems unbelievable to yourself and other people that you could have that much money saved. But you have to go back several rungs on this ladder where that's at the very top of the ladder. You've achieved the end-all be-all goal, and you need to set smaller goals that are more realistic. But it could also be it's impossible for you to believe that you're going to get a 23 on the DAT because you've never been good at standardized tests, but you know that's the score you need to get into your dream school. So maybe putting your goal of 23 on the DAT isn't the most realistic or motivating thing for you because maybe it's terrifying. Maybe your mind just can't wrap its head around it and it's not going to work as hard because it's like, yeah, I mean, that would be nice, but sure, like we're probably not going to get it. Let's be honest here. But what you need to do is break down that goal into attainable things and go section by section and work on improving your skills in each section. And then even skill section to section, maybe math is your worst one on the DAT like it was for me, and you know you're going to need at least a 20 or a 21 on math to be able to have an overall score of a 23. Just really talking back in pre-dental days. So you're going to need to almost make a mini ladder of believability to get yourself to where you believe you could get that score on math itself, which then is going to go back and be a rung on the ladder of you climbing your way up to your goal of the overall score. So it can be really anything in life. It can be even, I'm going to find a partner that I will marry one day that has all of these attributes that I know I need for myself and for my future family. And we're just going to be so compatible and all these things are going to be amazing. And maybe you've been having a hard time dating and it just seems unbelievable that a person like that would exist. So you need to take steps back on your ladder of believability and set a lower rung that makes more sense and is eventually going to help get you there. And as you achieve all these little goals, you're going to be closer and closer to that big goal that maybe at the time felt impossible, but now it's not so impossible because you can look down at everything you've climbed up and say, wow, I did all of that. I'm definitely going to be able to get to the end now. And the next thing is not new to me, but I think it's a great way to understand that your goals need to be very attainable in a way that you can actually check if you're doing them or not. If it's just, I want to be happy this year. I love that for you, and I want that too for you, but how are you going to know that you have happiness? And also, that specific example, happiness is a feeling. It is not a destination. You can be and find happiness at any time. You don't need XYZ thing in life to then start to be happy. Just saying. But I do want you guys to be making goals that you're able to check in with. And I want them to be SMART goals. You've probably heard of this from school or from something else, but SMART is an acronym. Each letter, it stands for a specific, measurable, attainable, realistic, and time sensitive. So all of these tips and concepts about how to set your goals are really great and useful, but you won't be setting the best possible goals for yourself until you take the time for the inner work and a lot of forward thinking. I've talked about it before, but visualizing your future is essential to figuring out what you want. Before I talk about that more and all the visualization, it might seem a little far-fetched to you or a little silly, so maybe you need some convincing. For me, I started daydreaming about the future life that I wanted when I was a little girl. I could close my eyes and just picture the house, the kids running around, the dogs running around, how I felt, what we did, how we treated each other, how we interacted with our community. Like, I could feel it in my soul what that life would be like. And I would tell people, family friends, like my friend's parents always laugh about this because I'm kind of on the pathway that I said I wanted when I was a little kid. I said I wanted to be a pediatric dentist with 4 kids and 2 dogs on this big property with a ton of space in nature where everyone can run around and we have enough room to host people. And I also wanted enough room to build a guest house on the property to take care of my parents when they get older. So we know I'm not going to be a pediatric dentist, but I'm still going into dentistry, and any of that other stuff is still possible because I'm young and just getting started on the life with family and everything. I haven't even started my job as a dentist yet, but we're pretty much on a decent track to what I wanted as a little kid. And I've always used visualization as motivation during really hard parts of particularly my pre-dental days and a little bit in dental school. So the example of how that has worked for me is if I was feeling really miserable and hopeless while I was struggling to raise my DAT practice scores, I would close my eyes and I would picture that feeling of walking across the stage at White Coat or at dental school graduation and looking into the crowd and seeing my dad just smiling so big and my mom probably crying happy tears. And it would make me tear up in that moment just thinking of, one, their sacrifices paying off that they made for me, and how proud they would feel, how proud I would feel in that moment. And that feeling kept me going and propelled me. And it wasn't, oh, I hope I get there one day. It's, I will get there one day. And I kept working hard. And I'm really fortunate that, you know, I did well enough on my DAT and was able to get accepted the first round. But if that didn't happen, I still would have went back to those things and kept working hard and figured out how to make it happen because that's what I wanted in life and that's what I knew I would get some way or the other. And it's okay if what you want in life changes, of course. Most people don't figure out that they want to be a dentist or whatever they want to do with their life when they're really little, or they definitely change their mind. But I'm just using my own stories as an example to show that it's useful and you can go and revisualize things at any point. I've certainly spent more time revisualizing my future and what I want other than when I was a little kid. I'm not destined to live on a giant farm for sure now. We'll see where life takes me. I definitely actually would rather live on a lake now that I've visualized my future life and everything I want. But just things like that, you really want to take time to think about what is your life like. And it's not like, oh, I want this giant mansion and I want this cool car. Maybe those are really important to you, but it's more so like, what do you want your life to feel like? What do you want to be surrounded by? How do they make you feel? How do you impact them? What are you bringing into the world? And what does your impact on the world look like? So I know those are very deep questions, but you really want to figure all of that out so that you can be setting the most effective goals and be as motivated as possible to achieve those goals. I'm saving my favorite, coolest new concept that I learned for the third and final segment of the episode. So I'm being that person. You have to stay till the end if you want to hear the really cool, juicy secret to what I think is so just the coolest concept ever. But nonetheless, I also want to talk about in the second segment of the episode, manifestation and mindset. I wouldn't say I'm like the most hardcore manifesting person. because it can get a little woo-woo and intense for me. But at the core and at kind of the neuroscience level that I've been hearing about it in podcasts lately, it makes a lot of sense to me. And that's what I want to talk about with you all is mindset and how you're viewing yourself and what you're capable of. So for me, this really goes into, I believe I've talked about it in other podcasts, but an abundance versus a scarcity mindset. I'm not going to dive too deep into abundance versus scarcity views of yourself and views of life, because that could take me a really long time because I think it's so interesting and I'm really passionate about it. But I just want to mention that for you if you want to look into it more. But I really try to live with an abundance mindset that, one, you're not in competition with everyone. There's enough for everyone. The only person you're in competition with is yourself. And also that you are worthy and deserving of everything that you want in life. And that's not to make you someone that's stuck up or someone that's cocky. You can be a very humble person and still welcome in and accept and be prepared and willing for all of the great things that life is going to give to you when it gives it to you. It's not to say nothing bad will ever happen. It's not to say it won't be hard, but it's to say that you're a positive, open-minded person and you just genuinely believe that all of the good things you want in life can and will come your way. And really, like, that positive thinking is going to make the biggest shift in your life, in my opinion. Because I can think of people that have a really pessimistic scarcity view of the world, and I just feel like bad things keep happening to them. And obviously that's going to keep piling on itself, and there's other external factors. But I really think the more negative energy that you put out, the more negativity that comes back to you. And I'm not saying that this is like big, terrible, tragic life events. It's just the little things that I mean, like you step in a puddle on your way to school and your shoes are all wet. Like little things like that. That can happen to anybody, but depending on your mindset on the world, that can ruin your whole day. Like 0.1% of your day can ruin 100% of this day that you're given, this blessing that you're given of a new day. Or you can be an optimistic person that believes that good things are coming and that cannot bother you at all, especially if you're a prepared person like I'm trying to convince you to be, because then you have clean shoes in your locker and clean socks in your locker at school, so you are unbothered. I'm just thinking about myself if that happened to me. So it's really important to think about this mindset and try to give yourself all the best tools and best ability to be successful in your own version of success by being a bit more of a positive person. I really encourage that for you. But for me, we've talked about visualization a lot at the beginning of this episode, so I want to talk about it just a little bit more, because before you can manifest that something is a certain way and it's going to be a certain way, you have to know what you want to be manifesting and believing. So the prerequisite for manifestation, in my mind, is that visualization. So it's thinking about your life, as we talked about in the last segment, we're really trying to drive this in, is that it's thinking about your life, how it would look, very, very detailed. Like the minute you open your eye on a typical day, not the best day of your life, but for now this exercise, a typical day, when you're living your ideal life. And it's funny because I've heard people talk about this. Oh, if you asked me this years ago, I would have just started talking to you about a Saturday because I didn't have to work, because honestly, I didn't really like my job. So my ideal day would have been a weekend and I had time to myself and I would do XYZ fun things. But now that I've created a life that I love and a job that I love, my ideal day is actually a work day because I get to go to work and serve people, serve my industry, whatever it is, help my team, and then I get to come home and do that element of my life that I love. And maybe I love my commute to work, and I love my morning routine, and I love waking up early and getting a lot done in a day. And I just thought that was really interesting that your ideal day can look different once you kind of start creating the life that you want for yourself and believing that you can have that career that you love or something like that. So, what would your ideal day look like if you already had everything you wanted in life? So, we don't need to think about how old you are, anything like that, but like you are inside your own body and you wake up. What is that day like? How do you feel? What does your space feel like? You want to go through all your senses. I know it feels kind of crazy, but if you really try to do it, it like gives you like tingles if you're really feeling it. And think about all your senses. What are you smelling? What are you seeing? Who's there with you? Once you start getting up and starting your day, what's happening? Do you have any pets? Do you have any children? Do you have a home base? Are you more nomadic? Are you traveling from different places? Where are you at? Is it cold weather? Is it warm weather? What season is it? Do you have seasons? Are you even in the same country that you live in now? Like, what does all of that look like? What are you preparing to do? Are you going to work? What is your job like? What are you wearing? How are you getting to work? And what do all your relationships look like with your family, with your friends, with your coworkers, if you choose to have those kinds of relationships? And that can really help you figure out, okay, wow, like that makes me feel amazing. And that is my best future self or my ideal future self. And then from that point, that's what you're going to be manifesting and convincing your brain to be true. So if your ideal day, you're a very fit person. So before you go to work or whatever you're doing on that ideal day, you're going to exercise because you want to take care of your body, because you want to live for a long time and be able to spend as much time as possible with your loved ones. And you want to take care of the body and the blessing that you were given. And you're going to exercise that day. So now that you're back in reality where things are, what would you do that day? Because you already believe that you are that ideal version of yourself and you are that best version of yourself. You have to show up as that person every single day and fake it till you make it until you are a morning person and a fit person. And this concept is not new. It's been in one of my favorite, most game-changing books was Atomic Habits. If you haven't read that, please, please do. And it's also talked about in Dr. Alan Stern's book. It's Not Too Thick. I really, really love that book. If you're specifically in dentistry, it was amazing as well. I read that one a few months ago. Super impactful. But so you need to be, or I recommend that you be living as the person you want to become. And maybe you have to do that ladder of believability and scale it back a little bit. Maybe you're not going to go for a 10-mile run, even though your best self would be able to do that. Maybe you're going to go for a 2-mile walk, and then you're going to ease your way into next week. You're going to run and walk and run and walk and run and walk, alternating till you build up that cardiovascular fitness. You know, that's fine, but you're still living like a fit person. And for me, here are some examples. Maybe I would say, I and my best self would be, I'm a morning person, I don't go on my phone right away, and when I get to work, I'm fully focused, and then when I go home, I'm fully present with my loved ones. So it's truly believing that you're capable of that. But the manifesting part is going into acting every day and living every day like you already have it, like you're already that person. So if your goal is to be smart with money, and you're someone that doesn't have money anxiety or money worry, how would you live your life? It's not to say I'm going to start blowing money because I don't care about money. No, you're someone organized, you're someone confident, you're someone knowledgeable about finances. So maybe you're going to open up a brokerage account, or maybe you're going to open up a retirement account, or maybe you're going to go into your own checking and savings accounts and start itemizing all your spending and going into a budget sheet. Maybe you're going to purchase a budget sheet template on the internet from a blogger, a finance blogger that you like, and you're going to start tracking your expenses because you're going to be an organized person who doesn't need to be worried about money because they know where money's coming and going and they have a plan. Like, that is living like that best version of yourself. So back to my example. I know I am not the person to sit on the phone when I wake up and scroll for an hour because I said I'm a morning person. So I'm going to get out of bed. I'm going to make myself a nice breakfast. I'm going to settle into the morning and be more happy and productive so that I can tackle the day. I pretending, faking it till I make it, that I'm the best version of myself would not even think about going on TikTok on my phone as soon as I turn my alarm off, because that is not the ideal version of myself. And for me, I have a Hatch alarm clock that I love. So now I don't even have to turn off an alarm or even touch my phone because I have a physical alarm clock that I use. So I'm not even looking at my phone. And honestly, there's a lot more that can go into manifesting as well if you really want to do a deeper dive into it. I think people that do it seem to be very happy and very successful. And I, like I said, I'm not fully into the full concept of manifesting. I think it gets a little intense. But for me, it's that believing in yourself and what you want, and that you will have everything you want, and those affirmations to yourself until you believe it. You have to rewire your brain to believe what is true. And what is true is that abundance thinking that you can and will have everything you want. Okay, our final segment, the last puzzle piece of what I think makes an amazing goal setting process and how to develop a good mindset. So this one is a lot more about the process itself of setting goals. We've talked a ton about mindset and visualization and all those important things in this episode already, but now we're going to circle back and finish everything off with how can you set effective goals? Successful people are often always looking ahead. Saying successful people are always looking ahead doesn't mean you can't be grateful for the present or live in the moment. But when it comes to setting goals and planning your future, it's great to be forward thinking. I learned about the concept of a 12-week year in another podcast. It's also a book by Brian P. Morgan and Michael Ludington and others, again called The 12-Week Year. If you really like this concept and want to know more, I haven't read it though, but it's definitely on my list since learning about the 12-week year. So what does that mean? Essentially, if you set a big goal of something that you want by 2025, then you're going to break it down into quarters, which are 12-week periods. So you're going to look at all of your goals as quarterly deadlines rather than annual goals that you have 365 days to complete, because then you're just not going to be as motivated to get started, or they might seem too daunting. So if you take that big goal of what you want by the end of this year, or something that you're working towards, maybe it's even going to take multiple years to build up, break that down into those SMART goals that we talked about, S-M-A-R-T acronym, by quarters. They're going to seem so much more believable and attainable, way less scary usually, which is going back to what we talked about at the beginning, that ladder of believability. You need to convince yourself that this is attainable. And the easiest way to do that is to break it down into smaller goals, which I'm sure is something you've heard before, but it's this 12-week thing that was, it just blew my mind. I never thought of it this way. They were saying that top companies and top CEOs, they're not talking about what they're working on right now. They're not talking about Q1. They're already talking about Q2. Q1 is up, it's going, it's happening, it's planned, it's on schedule, everything's good. They're looking ahead to the next quarter of the year. And all of their goals and their deadlines and their financial indicators in their case are based on quarters, and they need to get it done within that time. So you really can't procrastinate. And that's the real secret to it, to why this 12-week year concept really works, is your deadline is so much sooner. It creates that intensity internally, it creates pressure, and it gets results. You can't procrastinate, you have to start now because you only have 12 weeks to get it done. Again, sharing some of my own experience here, I would usually make 2025 goals and I'd assume, okay, maybe I would get it done some point during the year. It's not like I won't finish it until December 31st of the year, but somewhere in the middle, I really had no intensity, no direct push, no reason to get it done by then. It would just probably happen at some point. Maybe I'd pick up a book here and there and actually read, but I don't have a direct deadline that's going to force me into doing that. So this concept, it tells your brain it's go time. I have 12 weeks. 12 weeks is not that long. It's realistic. I can do anything for a few weeks. It's only 12 weeks. Whatever my goal is, I can be consistent for 12 weeks. I can put in the work for 12 weeks. I have to have it done by the end of those 12 weeks. It's go time. Set your goals. Break them down into 12-week goals that you have 12 weeks to complete, and check them using that SMART acronym to make sure that they are Specific, measurable, attainable, realistic, and time sensitive, all to be completed by the end of those 12 weeks. And get them done. So that's all, folks. I hope that this was motivating for you because it sure is for me. I took some extra time in prepping this episode, so if you enjoyed it, be sure to share it with a friend that might be having a hard time with something they're working towards or maybe feeling discouraged by a goal or task that just seems too big and impossible to conquer. And always remember that I believe in you too.